As Hong Kong protests turn unruly, there are questions about the region as a financial gateway. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. What had been orderly protests in Hong Kong changed tone today, with demonstrators throwing plastic bottles and police using rubber bullets and tear gas. Tens of thousands of protesters were out there today. The focus of the protests: moves by Beijing to change the law to make it easier to extradite people to China's less transparent justice system on the mainland. This is a civil liberties issue and a business issue, with Hong Kong's place as a financial hub in question. Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak joined me today from Shanghai. Hello, Jennifer.
Hi, David.
Tell me about Hong Kong as a kind of gateway for people who want to do business in China.
Well, Hong Kong used to be a British colony, and even though it was handed back to mainland China in 1997, it retains its own legal system based on British common law. So for this and other reasons, Hong Kong is a hub for contract disputes and arbitration. It's also the base for close to 300 American companies who are running their Asia operations.
How could changing the law on extraditing people to mainland China affect Hong Kong as a business hub?
People just don't trust the legal system in mainland China, which human rights groups say is a political tool of the Communist Party. So think about the Huawei dispute with the U.S., right? Canada got trapped between the two. And now there are two Canadians, one of them a businessman, who are still in detention in mainland China. So international firms are nervous.
And if Beijing is seen as overreaching here, that can, you think, alter the view of Hong Kong as a business center?
Yeah, it's happening already. You know, in 2015, there were five booksellers from Hong Kong who suddenly disappeared and resurfaced in mainland China. They were dealing with fictional works critical of the Chinese leadership. It didn't matter that some of them held foreign passports. Now, nothing like this has happened to an American citizen, but the fear is it might for those either visiting or working in Hong Kong if this bill passes.
Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak, thank you very much.
Thanks, David.
Top-ranking U.S. disaster management officials are due in front of a Senate panel today. Among them will be the acting administrator and President Trump's nominee to head FEMA going forward. Lawmakers had hoped to have a new chief in place before hurricane season started on the first of this month. Marketplace's Andy Euler has more.
We're almost 2 weeks into this year's hurricane season, but FEMA is still trying to help communities in the U.S. recover from past disasters. Flooding in the Midwest, wildfires in California, and Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico almost 2 years ago. That doesn't surprise Samantha Montano. She's an emergency management professor at the University of Nebraska, Omaha, doing fieldwork in New Orleans.
We're coming up on the 14th anniversary of Katrina, and there are still so many people and so many properties that, you know, look like the storm happened a month ago.
After Katrina, policies were put into place to make recovery faster and more efficient. But Gavin Smith at North Carolina State University says FEMA is still reacting to disasters instead of planning up front.
They need more personnel to assist states and local governments before the storm ever happens. And there is not sufficient staff or resources dedicated to that.
Last week, after months of delay, President Trump signed a $19 billion package to help towns and cities still recovering from disasters over the past 2 years. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
The major stock index on the Hong Kong exchange closed down 1.7% today amid those protests. The FTSE in London is up 0.7% now. Dow and S&P futures here are up 0.3% each. Crude oil sharply down in New York, down 2.6% below $52 a barrel. If you're a member of your local public radio station, we thank you, because your support helps those stations keep programs like Marketplace on the air. But for Marketplace to really grow, we need additional investment from those who care most about what we do, superfans like you. Your donation helps us create more content that matters to you and your community, and to reach more people where they are, whether it's radio, podcasts, or online. Become a Marketplace investor today at marketplace.org, and thank you. One of the steps toward financial maturity is coming to grips with what I call the float. That's when you electronically transfer money or write a check, and there's a few days before the money posts on the other end, the float. Businesses, big and small, have to factor that delay into their everyday decisions, but this could be changing. Marketplace's Justin Ho reports.
Running a restaurant often means having to rely on some pretty ancient forms of payment.
I mean, I can even show you. I walk around with a folio of checkbooks.
That's Emmeline Zhao, general manager of a New York restaurant called Little Tom.
Half my week is sometimes spent just running between the different locations of our restaurant, writing checks to people.
Besides cash, she says many of her suppliers only accept checks or bank transfers, which can take days to process. Zhao says suppliers sometimes just won't show up if the money hasn't landed in their account.
That could mean that you've run out of all of your beer and you can't serve any beer for 4 days.
Part of the issue, payments have to be cleared to make sure the transactions are secure and legitimate. That job's done by the Federal Reserve and also a company called the Clearing House, which processes $2 trillion worth of transfers per day.
So anything but cash has some sort of process to go through.
That's Peter Davey with the Clearing House. He says the current system takes a while, partly because the company has to process payments in big batches. So the Clearing House is now pushing a new service called real-time payments.
In the real-time payment system, we actually do this instantaneously per transaction.
Instant payment processing. No more waiting around for payments to clear, no more worrying about your beer supply. Lily Harder at Mintel Compromedia says that could have big implications for all types of customers.
Across the board, from a commercial standpoint, small businesses, and even consumers.
So far, 15 banks use the service, including Chase and Wells Fargo. They pay the clearinghouse a flat rate. But Harder says for instant payments to really start catching on,
it's going to come down to the products that are built on top of that.
There are a few consumer products that use the technology. The Savings App Digit uses Chase's access to the network to let customers instantly move money around. But Harder says businesses don't have many ways to use the service. Another issue, Bruce Summers, a former Fed official, says the clearinghouse doesn't have any competition.
The better alternative is for the 12 Federal Reserve banks to be active competitors with other clearinghouses.
The Fed has been studying this, but so far hasn't confirmed any plans. Meanwhile, the clearinghouse is hoping all banks will have access to the network by next year. In New York, I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
Thanks, Justin. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And we're from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.